Good morning, everybody. We're glad to see you here at Trinity downtown today, and God's blessings. We've got people that are so excited they're falling upstairs, and that's an exciting trip. We do want to welcome each of you. There's a couple of cards that would help us be in ministry to, for, and with you. There's a blue one and a yellow one. The yellow one is for prayer requests, and so if you have a prayer request, we'll be picking those up right after the scripture lessons are read. And then the blue one is just to let us know you're here. And so please do fill that one out as well. And we do want to just welcome you this morning to Trinity. Please stand and greet each other. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? With you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. Since we are gathered here to God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. O God, whose glory
is is always
to have mercy. Be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from the book Ezekiel, chapter 33. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning for me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn away from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, Thus have you said, Surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, As I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live, turn back. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to your people, The righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him when he transgresses. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall by it when he turns from his wickedness. And the righteous shall not be able to live by his righteousness when he sins. Though I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, yet if he trusts in his righteousness and does injustice, none of his righteous deeds shall be remembered. But in his injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, though I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, yet if he turns from his sin and does what is just and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, gives back what he has taken by robbery, and walks in the statutes of life, not doing injustice, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the sins that he has committed shall be remembered against him. He has done what is just and right. He shall surely live. Yet your people say, The way of the Lord is not just, when it is their own way that is not just. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. And when the wicked turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he shall live by them. Yet you say, The way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his ways. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, The people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel appointed for this day is taken from the book of Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
This text reminds us of the need for repentance. It also is a time for us to look at the grace and mercy of God as He deals with us tenderly and mercifully and tries to call us to be fruitful unto life for Him. There were some present at the very time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And He answered them, "You think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or what of those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them? Do you think they were worse offenders than all others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And Jesus then told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for 3 years now I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon each of you this day. Our text is taken from the epistle lesson, the second of our three lessons, which was just read to you, for you. And we'd invite you to follow along, either in the Pew Bible just in front of you, or upon the screen by simply watching that. And for those of you who have an iPhone or Android, you can follow along there as well. I want you to really realize here that Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, and he's talking with this young body of believers about temptations. And as you and I start to look at temptations, each and every one of us, regardless of our age, no matter how long we've been a member, whether we were born into this congregation or not, each of us are and have been tempted. So as we look at this, the timeliness, I think, is very, very fitting for us. I don't want you to be unaware, Paul writes, that our fathers were all under the cloud and passed through the sea. What's that about? If you remember in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were being led by God through the wilderness wandering. And the daytime, they were led by a cloud. You remember that? What was it that led them by night? Very good. A pillar of fire. Good job. And she just chimed in right like that. She knew the answer. Good job. And then the pass through the sea, what would that be about? The Red Sea, yeah. They were led by the presence of God, leading them safely through the Red Sea. And who was behind them trying to capture them? The Egyptians. And what happened when the Egyptians went through the middle of the Red Sea? Whoop! And it collapsed and it drowned them. And do you know today archaeologists are actually finding at the bottom of the Red Sea chariots and things from the Egyptian Empire during that time? The presence of God is what we're trying to all understand. And the presence of God was with them by the cloud, and in the sea, God was present with them. And then you remember that they received some spiritual food. What do you remember about that? The manna, very good. You're right on top of it. Were you reading my sermon notes back there in the sacristy? And when we start to look at it, we see the heavenly manna. And when we think about it, today we're going to receive again, in the presence of God, we're going to receive the Lord's body and blood. Heavenly manna, you might say, in the form of bread and with the wine. And so we too have the presence of God. And for the presence of God, you remember the name of Jesus? One of the titles of God is Emmanuel. And that's a title given to Jesus. You know what that means? God with us. Jesus had to become flesh and be with us, dwelling amongst us. So Jesus was also and is still also with us. But the Bible tells us that God was not well pleased with the children of Israel. And many of them died in the wilderness. And when we start to look at that, we start to understand and start to see that Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us, sometimes we don't please him either. And so when we start to see this, listen to some of the things that God was upset with the children of Israel. They craved evil things. They were idolaters, following other gods, turning to other things, treating them as though they were more important than God. And some of them wanted to just play rather than do the things of God, rather than doing the work that they were set before them. And it says also they acted immorally, and 23,000 of them fell in a single day. Can you imagine what the newspapers would say if we were downtown Orlando and later this afternoon the earth opened up and swallowed up 23,000 of us? Do you think that'd be on the 6 o'clock news? Yeah, if it didn't take the TV tower and station also, right? And so when we start to think about it, that's a lot of people. That was a very significant thing. God was upset. Nor let us test or try the Lord. And when they tested and tried the Lord, serpents came amongst them and bit them. I don't know about you, but I much don't like snakes. I don't like to get bit, and certainly not by poisonous snakes. Nor to those who grumbled, and the destroyer was sent amongst them and killed them. You know what grumbling is? Potty eyes, you know, that type of thing. Do we ever do that? Teenagers, do we ever do that? I did. I want to let you know. I'd say whatever. And sometimes as adults, as husbands or as wives, to our children or to our spouse, we roll our eyes. Sometimes to one another, We grumble. We complain. And sometimes even to God, we dare to roll our eyes and grumble. Now, the Israelites were grumbling with what they had been given. They were tired of eating this manna. They just simply wanted it to stop, and they wanted something else. And they were asking, isn't there anybody, Moses, any place we could have just stayed in Egypt? Didn't they have graves here? Why not just let us die out in the wilderness? We could have stayed in Egypt. Grumbled. And what happened? Many of them were also taken. Now, these things are written for our instruction, is what Paul says. Therefore, let us, if we believe we stand, take heed lest we fall. That means if we think we've got it all under control, if we think we're all so good and mighty and that we have no problems between us and God, that we're not really sinners, let us take heed lest we fall. I know as a young man that I had to come through a season and a time of temptations. I'm sure many of you did, no matter how old you are. And those of you who are before your teenage years, you too go through temptations. And as we go older and get older, we also go through temptations. We're upset with God because of the things we still have to do. We're upset because somebody said something else that we sure didn't like. We mumble, and we grumble, and we moan, and we groan. And that doesn't make the Lord happy. But I want you to hear what God's word, under the inspiration that Paul writes about, it says, no temptation has overtaken you, but as such is common to man. In other words, we're all going through this, each and every one of us. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. That's a promise from God. He will not allow the temptation to go further than you're able to endure it. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation, will provide a way of escape. A way of escape so you'll be able to endure that temptation. As you and I start to think about it, sometimes gossip is so juicy you just want to pick up the phone and tell somebody else. You know, after all, you heard it at church. But when we start to think about it, and when we start to see God is telling us maybe what Luther said is how we need to deal with it. Let your ear be a grave to that which is gossip. When we're tempted for our eyes to see things that God doesn't intend for us to see, or our ears to hear things that shouldn't be heard, or our hands to do things that shouldn't be done, or our feet be used to take and run towards evil, God wants to tell you, He will provide a way of escape. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to withstand. And with that temptation, He'll give you a way of escape. It might mean not picking up the phone. It might mean not going out on that planned event. It might mean a variety of different things. But God is giving you and me a way of escape. Now let no one, James says, tell us when he is tempted that I'm being tempted by God. God made me do this. He says, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. Do you not remember in the Lord's Prayer we say, lead us not into the temptation, but thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever? God doesn't want us to be tempted, and He's not going to tempt us, but He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is our prayer, that God Almighty would intervene. And so we have prayer as one of those mighty weapons to defeat, as a way of escape, of getting past the temptation. Another is the Word of God. The Bible tells us the Word of God is living. It's active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And it's piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, of both joints and marrow. It's better than the Ginsu knife. And you can't get it on TV. It's probably in your living room, though. It's called the Holy Bible. And that Holy Bible is powerful. It's living. It's active. It's able to separate the bone from the joint, the marrow, and that which is the soul and the spirit, undistinguishable almost, but separate them, as well as the thoughts and intentions of our heart. You know, I can say a lot of the right words in a lot of situations, but God is able to judge my heart and the intentions behind those words. And so it is with you. His word goes that deep. Is that able to separate sin from that which sounds good? And when we start to see the almighty, powerful God at work in our life through His word, we understand that He will point out the sin to a son or his daughter so He can save them and allow them not to fall into that temptation. I have a Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. I hope it becomes one of yours. It's one of my favorite verses. Teach me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any hurtful way within me. And then, O Lord, lead me in the everlasting way. You see, that's what I'm asking God to do as His word interacts with my life. And as you and I struggle with the temptations and we wonder, is this of God or is this of the devil? Couldn't I go just this far, do this much, say that, but not this? See, God will help us over these temptations and trial, and will help us see where our feet need to stand on what we need to not do during such times. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul writes in Romans, for it is the power of God unto my salvation. And when you and I start to look at it, we need to understand that Peter also says in 1 Peter 2:11, abstain from fleshly lust. Why? Because they wage war against your souls. You realize sexual sins, don't you, are that which wage war against our body, but they also wage war against our soul? For the purpose the devil gives us those so that we can be stripped of our salvation. That's what he seeks. He's so evil that he hates you and me that much because of Jesus' love for us. Romans 5:2 tells us we have obtained our introduction by faith in Christ, a grace that now allows us to stand boldly and confidently in the presence of God Himself, and in prayer that we can go there and we can exalt in the hope of the glory of God and ask God to help us. And He does. And He does. And when we start to see another power at work in us, we need to understand it is the person of Jesus Christ. God doesn't just leave you to you and say, oh, here's my manual. And by the way, if you fold your knees and fold your hands, we'll get you through this. That is a big help, though. But He wants you to know of His Son and what Jesus Christ did. Jesus is your faithful high priest. A high priest is one who would take all of our sins and shortcomings and he would then offer them through the blood of the sacrifice at the altar of God. And there would be prayers on behalf of the people. And to come out as the high priest would, he would come out and give the forgiveness of sins to the people. Jesus is our faithful high priest, we read in Hebrews 2. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, that's us, He Himself likewise also partook of the same. That's Jesus, who became flesh, who lived and dwelt among us, that through His death He might render powerless him who had the power of death. That is the devil. Jesus renders the devil powerless, impotent, unable to deliver. And Jesus would free those who were under the fear of death, that's you and me, who were subject to slavery of sin all of our lives. For assuredly, Jesus does not reign to help the angels, but rather he gives help to the children of Abraham. That's us. Therefore, Jesus had to be made like his brothers in all things. Jesus had to have flesh. Jesus had to live a perfect life. Jesus had to undergo the same temptations that you and I undergo before he took upon himself the sins of the world, your sins and mine. And thus way he could become a faithful and merciful high priest and would be able to offer a payment for our sins. In fact, the sins of the entire world, people of all time and all places. Even though he himself was tempted, he was without sin. And now he has suffered even death upon a cross. He is able to now come to our aid and to help those who are being tempted. Do you see? Jesus understands what you're going through. Jesus is with you and me. Jesus is the one who will wrap his arms around us, who will take us by the hands, who will lift us up, and who will turn us the other way to go away from this sin and this temptation. As you and I start to see this, Jesus, we see that the victory that he won for us is truly our victory. And the victory that he offers us from his sin, from our sins now upon him, was paid for on Calvary's cross. You remember in the Garden of Eden, the night before Jesus was crucified, Jesus found the disciples sleeping. He had told them to pray with them just an hour. He came back three times and he found them to be asleep. And his prayer wasn't to badger them, but he said, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And my friends, that's really the word from today's text. Take heed lest you fall. Pray that you may not enter into temptation. But because you and I will be tempted, Jesus, our faithful high priest, has paid the price and will strengthen us to withstand the assaults of the enemy. And Jesus, the faithful high priest, is the one who will allow us to have a place and a way of escape. That's God's promise to you. May God bless you and me as we stand firm in our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. confess her faith this Sunday in the words of the Creed, the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, rose again, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Lord and Savior Jesus, you give us the example of victory over the devil and temptations. It is your reliance upon the Word of God that you showed us as you were tempted in the wilderness, that you were fed by the presence and the relationship between you and God the Father, allowing you to withstand the temptations that the evil one was throwing your way. We thank you, Jesus, for giving us that example. But we more importantly thank you for empowering us as we have that Word of God placed within our lives and at our feet and at our disposal. Help us to make use of your power unto salvation, that light that enlightens our path and leads our steps. We thank you for that word that is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to untangle the thoughts and the intentions of our heart, and to see that which is sinful from that which is clean. O Lord and Savior, we thank you for these tools, but especially do we thank you that you have declared us to be your children, that you have overcome the devil and all of his wickedness and assaults, that you've destroyed and defeated him, rendering him powerless and impotent, and able to threaten us or harm us. He is a lion, but he's a caged lion. He can roar, but he cannot reach us. And, O Lord, we thank you for the protection you provide for your children and for your church. O Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord and Savior Jesus, we also give you thanks for this congregation. And we ask that you would bless and be with the people of Trinity Lutheran Church and School. We ask, O Lord, that you would bless the families that send their children to this school. And we ask, O Lord, that you would also bless the families that attend this church. May we reach out and connect with one another, but also with this community, as we serve you in boldness, confidently knowing that your forgiveness is real and that we have the good news of hope for all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And now hear the prayers of those that have been requested.
Dear Heavenly Father, congregation asks for prayer and supplication for the following. For Steve, who is battling cancer, please be with him, guide him, help him, protect him. For Leon and Sally, thanksgiving for better health for Leon, and also we ask that you comfort Sally because she's in the first advanced stage of Parkinson's disease. We ask for William for positive results from his survey that's being taken. Pray for his heart. He's having a problem with his heart, dear my Father. For Larry, who is in Winter Park Hospital, we ask that you be with him, guide him, help him, protect him. Lord, in your mercy.
Lord and Savior, we also give you thanks and ask that you would be with continued healings for our brother Greg, who we see here is with us this day. And for this, we give you thanks for hearing our prayers said on his behalf. O Lord and Savior, be with the family of Rita Thomas, who mourns the loss of her mother, Mary, and with the Schroeder family that mourns the loss of Ryan. We ask you, O Lord, to comfort and give a peace that surpasses all human understanding, to also be with a young man by the name of Will, who's undergoing cancer surgeries and testing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
The offering will be now gathered. You may be seated.
My Lord, what love is this that pays so dearly that I, the guilty one, he shed blood for me. Amazing love, oh what sacrifice, the Son of God given for me. My debt he pays, and my death he dies, that I might live. Love of Christ shall flow like rivers. Come wash your guilt away. He dies that I might live, that I might live, that I might live.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow upon us and all of creation. Above all, we thank you for your boundless love shown us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid upon him our sins, giving him unto death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to newness of life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Lord, remember us when you come into your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he's betrayed, took bread. And when he had broken it, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto his disciples. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, in the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, he gave thanks and he gave it unto his disciples, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the new testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of him." Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
Some announcements here. You've probably heard this one here already if you've been attending regularly, that on Wednesdays during Lent, they have devotions continuing this week as well from 12:10 to 12:50 during lunch hour, and also at 7 p.m. For those that are coming to the 7 p.m. service, there is a soup and bread fellowship supper you're invited to in the fellowship hall. I think that starts at like about 6 o'clock or so. This past week, I understand there was 15 people that attended the supper, so that was a good job. And I understand, see here, a chili was made by the Callisons. Did you make it? Okay. Just a little. And I'd like to have more people next week for Pasta Fajul from Pastor or from Mr. Rich. So I'm sure enough people know that's a nice Italian soup there. If you'd like to help serve, please contact the church office. The next slide is for the, there is a display board in the narthex. It's a little bit about the National Youth Gathering this summer. There's envelopes available if you'd like to donate to help the families cover the cost of travel and lodging and food. Participants will also host several more fundraisers and participate in some giving back projects. Support's appreciated. Appreciate that, thanks. Next slide should be the campus cleanup for Saturday, April 13th. Spend the morning hours sprucing up the campus for guests for Easter Sunday the following day. I know it seems odd that Easter's that late in the year, but that's true. Oh, it's the week before Easter? Oh, well, it's even later then. Sorry. It says Easter here in the thing. I got bad notes. That's what I get for trusting. Anyway. Maybe look good for Palm Sunday and then stay looking good for Easter. So gather, it says 8:30, 11:30 to tackle some yard work and some cleaning up projects around the campus. There'll be coffee, water, and donuts. So I guess there's some motivation to show up. The last slide is, this is one of those months of the year where there's five Sundays. So next week is the fifth Sunday, which means we will collect non-perishable food to bring to the food pantry at Prince of Peace. Funds will be accepted too, which will be also go to that, which they will help buy some things, which they get at very discounted amounts. And it can also be donated to the pastor's discretionary fund that week to fund those who are in an urgent financial crisis. And I guess the last announcement here is an admonishment to not forget your choice dollars, to can designate them through Thrivent to due by March 31st. Trinity's participating in a charitable organization which can accept those dollars. So you want to direct your choice dollars and you see that, please do that. The gifts will be above and beyond or a great blessing to Trinity.
Thank you, Brennan. Thank you for ushering and eldering and whatever, all the other things you did today. I'd like to say those Thrivent dollars are very important for us. They're something that Thrivent gives to as a benevolence to our organization, Trinity. And they're something that cost you nothing but provide a lot to us. So if you have Thrivent in any way, that would be a great way to check that out. Kathy Aber is our congregational contact person and the church office, but if you'd just like to contact your agent and say, is there anything there that I could contribute for my Thrivent action dollars? There's something else I'd like to say. There's a pledge card in the back, and it's for those of you who realize that as we've been sharing information with you for the past several weeks, we are having a financial difficult shortfall. And that amount is something that we, to the glory of God, are receiving tithes and offerings above and beyond what you pledged or are currently giving. And it's through June 30th. So if you have a card or need to get a card in the back, or I think on the side, but for sure they're in the back. And it's a card that just would help us understand really what you might be willing or thinking about doing. And it helps us then plan for the future, for the coming weeks and months. And we appreciate any that you can do and help us with. To God's glory, I'd like to have you be ready. Together, Trinity Lutheran Church last week received an offering of $63,921. Thank you, Jesus. We need that to get through, but I want to say God is answering our prayers. And thank you, because you are the people God is going to answer that through, most likely. So God's blessing, Trinity, as we go through the next few months, and we'll get through this okay. Please stand and join us for our final and closing hymn.